Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
We've got Diane McConnell with us today, and she's going to tell us all about the oils of the Bible. Cool. And thank you for Patricia for coming. And she's your TCC professor. Yeah, Patricia. All right, there she is. That's Patricia. So God bless y'all. Thanks for being here. Diane, come on up here. And I hope the hope your PowerPoint works perfect.
Good morning. So good to see everybody here today after the big storm yesterday. My name is Diane McConnell, as he said, and this is Patricia Maniscalco, and she's part of my team. And Patricia is currently teaching at TCC in the senior program. So if you like what you hear here today, you can take some courses over there. She'll have some summer sessions, but then a full semester in the fall again. So we're also going to have my oils and everything that you're all going to be able to smell, but it's going to be a little difficult to pass around in here, so we have them over in the fellowship hall area for where we're going to be eating lunch. Thank you so much for inviting me to come. I get to talk about two of my most favorite things, Jesus and essential oils, together. I never realized how much essential oils were in the Bible until I started to study it. And I was amazed that all those things that I heard as a child, you know, frankincense and myrrh being brought to baby Jesus, I never even thought to ask my mom what frankincense was. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Before I get started, Becky asked that I would share a little bit of my personal story that I told at the class at the college where I taught this. I haven't shared this, but probably a couple of times publicly, but I guess about, I think it's been about 7 years ago, my son almost lost his life to a medication reaction, and it was a difficult time for us because they kept wanting to give him something else, and he kept having reactions, and he was paralyzed, and he was in the hospital. It's kind of, you know, brings back memories, so I apologize, but it was a very hard time for us. And it turns out that he genetically cannot break down many classifications of drugs. So thankfully, God led us to a wonderful physician that was able to treat him naturally and bring back from all the damage that had occurred and recover him completely. And he's totally fine today. He is actually in college. He's in his junior year at UNT, and he's on the president's list with straight A's. So I think he's recovered quite well. But that's what put us on our quest of learning the natural ways, because it wasn't a way of my life for my entire life. But I had to start learning this, and then I saw the incredible outcomes in my own son and then in the rest of my family using natural alternatives to help the body heal itself. Now, essential oils weren't initially part of that walk. They came a little later, but they are part of my arsenal at home, so we pretty much don't use most medications. Now, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medications. I know that many of them save lives, and you have to have them. But there are times when, you know, there's not necessary to pop that Tylenol, because that Tylenol does have side effects and, you know, daily of taking medications needlessly, or I should say when there's other alternatives that don't have the harmful side effects, then that's something that, you know, you might want to look into. The natural world of medicine is pretty huge, and it doesn't have to be oils. It can be other things, but what we're going to do talk about, by the way, if you can click for me. I don't have a clicker, so I'm going to have to rely on the sound booth there. This is my disclaimer, which I have to do. I am not a physician, okay? I'm just a lover of Jesus and a lover of natural. The following statements that I'm going to say are not not been evaluated by the FDA, okay? By the way, the FDA doesn't allow me to stand publicly and say that anything natural heals or cures anything, okay? So read between the lines of my presentation. So these products, these oils are not intended to diagnose or treat or cure. So please, if you're taking any medicines, don't go, I heard about this oil and I'm going to stop taking my medicine and do this. Please don't do that. Only do take get off your medications under the supervision of your physician. Okay, so we get that out of the way. Let's roll. All right, in James 5:14 in the Bible, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, we're going to click pretty quick. So let's talk about anointing. The Hebrew word for anoint is massage, which means to smear, spread, massage, and in some cases it means to pour oil over the head or body. Okay? I'm going to be going through these slides rather quickly, but we do have a handout for you of some of the important stuff that we want you not to have to worry about absorbing, because I know you're not here to all take these notes. But I have a lot of slides, and I actually deleted several of them just to be able to get you guys to lunch at noon. Because I could talk about oils all day. We can come back, and I can be here till 5, really, but I won't do that to you. Essential oils were used for healing in the Bible. In biblical times, they were mixed with vegetable oil. Sometimes it was olive oil or almond oil or whatever they had. But the essential oils that were used for anointing were always included essential oils in that. It wasn't just a vegetable oil. And the anointing of Aaron is an example. Moses took the anointing oil and he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. We find this in Leviticus. And then in Psalms, there's just another verse about it. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. This was not a small amount of oil. This was actually, they pretty much drenched them until it got down to their feet. So this wasn't just a little dot. Okay, when we look at the translation from the Greek, there are three Greek words that are translated to the word healing in our Bible. The first one, and this is a Greek word, it's all Greek to me, I'm going to try to pronounce this right, eomai, I believe is how it's pronounced. Who said that? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else has learned Greek. It means miraculous or instantaneous, and it's found about 30 times in the New Testament. And these are just some verses on where it's found. So Jesus, obviously, throughout the New Testament, had many instantaneous healings. You read about them all through the New Testament. The second word is therapeuo, from which we get the word therapy. It is found 40 times in the New Testament. It means to serve, to attend, or to wait. To heal gradually over time. It can include self-administered care, as rest, exercise, you know, changes in diet. But basically, it's like, here, take this, and, you know, you'll be well over, you know, next weeks or months or whatever. And then the third time that it's translated sozo. It's found only 3 times in Scripture. Sozo implies not only to the physical healing, but an emotional and spiritual one as well. It's very closely related to the word salvation. So it's just a whole whole body, mind, spirit type of healing. Okay. All right. So back in biblical times, people would go to the elders of the church. You know, they would go to the priest, and the priest would anoint them. And possibly even give them some of the anointing oil or essential oils to go into get their healing over time, as we talked at therapeuo. So everybody wasn't healed instantly, and some people obviously never recovered from, you know, their sicknesses. Essential oils, we're going to talk about what they are, and I'm not going to go major into this because I can teach an entire class on this. But it's basically, it's the lifeblood of the plant. It's the fluid that flows up in the veins of the plant. It's the immune system of the plant. It keeps the plant well. If you were to tear a leaf of a plant and you see liquid coming to the edge, that is, a lot of that is the essential oils in there, and they're going to that spot to heal that leaf so that the plant won't die. It's not going to bleed out and, you know, completely die because you tear a leaf. So the essential oils are there to help that plant survive and to resist, you know, pests and different things like that. The way we get the oil out of the plant is we do distillation. And distillation is done with low heat steam. And what that does is that it extracts the oil out with water, and then you separate the water off, and that will give you the pure essential oil. I do want to mention, though, don't take what you hear today and run to the neighborhood store and try to find some essential oils and then start throwing them on you. The reason is less than 1% of essential oils on the market are pure enough for therapeutic reasons. And unfortunately, the FDA does not regulate the essential oil industry. Nobody does. So I can go and I can get a bottle of perfume that contains zero plant oil in it that smells like lavender. I can pour it in a bottle. I can put 100% pure essential oil on it. And I can say all these things about it. And I can sell it to you and have not one drop of plant oil. Well, that essential oil, which there's thousands of them on the market, is only probably going to give you a chemical burn if you do that, because there's nothing in there from the plant that has any, you know, ability to do anything. So just be careful that you must know the source of where the oil comes from and that it must be pure. A lot of companies that may even have a pure oil, they distill it wrong. They distill it by putting chemicals on it, like an acetone, to pull the oil out instead of distilling it. And now you've got a contaminated oil. So you don't want that either. So you really do need to have a pure oil. Essential oils support all five elements of our health. They are great for emotional oils because your smell bypasses the other systems of your body. It's the one sense that you have that can go directly to the brain without being filtered by anything else. Your taste, you have to taste it in your mouth. It has to go in. It has to go up your brainstem into your brain. And all your other senses have to go through a path. But when you smell something, it goes directly to the brain. And just behind your nose is the emotional part of your brain. So you can greatly affect your emotions by just inhaling pure essential oil. And that's how they are so valuable, because you can calm down. It can really help with a host of different emotional things and help you get through things. Go ahead. Okay, I see there's a problem with the thing. This is doing the full, all my slides I had hidden. The way that you can get essential oils on you or in you is if they're pure, some oils can be ingested. Okay, you can actually ingest them. Not all plants were meant for ingestion. You can diffuse them. You can just smell them right out of the bottle. Or you can apply them onto your skin. Now, some of the oils are hot, so they're going to be too hot to put right on your skin. It's kind of like a hot pepper hot. So you would want to dilute it down with a vegetable oil. Essential oils, by the way, have no fatty content whatsoever. So it's like water. When you put them on your skin, they'll absorb through your skin. They'll be in your bloodstream in less than 2 minutes. But you want to add a fatty oil with it if it's a hot oil, so that it doesn't irritate your skin on the hot oils. Okay, go ahead. All right, this is not the right PowerPoint. I don't know what happened here. Okay, we'll stop there. And when they frankincense was brought to baby Jesus, everybody knows the story at Christmas time. You know, we all talk about the nativity and how the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What you may not know is the frankincense was much more valuable than the gold. It was whoever had frankincense and myrrh, they had power because they had medicine. This was medicine back then. So the frankincense was extremely valuable. And that's why it was a precious gift for Jesus. Go ahead. The history of frankincense, the historical uses. Frankincense is extracted from a boswellia tree, and it only grows in the Middle East. We actually, the oil that my company has comes from the country of Oman. And you must have a tree that's about 40 years old to even start extracting the resin, because what they do is they cut the tree and it starts to seep out a resin, and then they have to cure this resin, and then they distill this resin. The whole process takes a minimum of 6 months. And the trees really need to be quite old in order for this, you know, to do this. Okay, go ahead. Modern uses of frankincense. It provides support for the nervous system, so it's a wonderful oil for that. It can alleviate occasional anxiety and calming. It's very calming. Frankincense was used in the temples in biblical time because it has a way of affecting your emotional state. So it helps you get in a better prayer state for when you're in the temple praying. It can help with mild memory issues and absent-mindedness. It's great for lung function. I have a lot of things on the paper here, so I'm not going to read through all of these. But frankincense is basically the everything oil. It's not necessarily the first oil we always go to because it does cost a bit of money. It is expensive because of how, you know, limited the supply of frankincense is. There's only so many frankincense trees that can be farmed, and then it takes such a long process in order to distill it. So go ahead. Okay, our next oil we're going to talk about is myrrh. And myrrh is an oil that is really wonderful for the skin and, you know, the vitality of your skin. In Esther 2:12, it says, "For thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women." Esther was loved more than all the other women, so she was to be queen, the royal queen, instead of Vashti. But what she had to do is she had to go for 6 months prior to her wedding. She went to make herself beautiful. It was a preparation time for her to make herself beautiful for the king. And myrrh was the oil that they used on the skin and to bathe with and to apply on his skin to give the skin the best healthy look it can have. So they use that for beautifying purposes and more of, you know, like a cosmetic and things like that from back then. So it's also used for everything from perfume to embalming. Birthing mothers anointed the umbilical cord when their babies were born to protect them against infection. One little fact here was the very first oil that Jesus probably was exposed to was myrrh, because obviously being born, that's what they use. But it was also the last oil that he was ever presented with, because when he was dying on the cross, they went ahead and they raised a sponge up to him while he was on the cross. And theologians have said that that mixture was a mixture of myrrh and wine. And the reason is because they were trying to numb his pain. And and also myrrh is used as an embalming, part of the embalming oils. So from birth to death, myrrh is a very popular oil in biblical times. And probably the very first and the very last oil that touched Jesus' body. Modern uses today, same as back then, it's incredible for skin. You can add myrrh to your current moisturizer, or you can get make up a moisturizer and put that in there, or just put it right on your face. It's a very, very thick oil. It's super thick, so it's really hard to get out of the bottle. You have to hold it in your hand and warm it up a little bit to try to get it to come out. It's really great for any aging or wrinkled skin. It's great for just anything skin. It's great for oral health. You can rub it on your chest for lung support. It's one of those, it's very, very similar to frankincense, so it has a lot of the same uses. Our third oil we're going to talk about is cedar wood. Cedar wood in Scripture, in 1 Kings 4:33, it says, "Also he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things of fish." This is just to show you cedar wood in Scripture. Go ahead and go on to the next. Ancient uses of cedar wood. It was used for disinfecting the temple instruments. It was used in the temples. It was used for cosmetics. Again, this is another great oil for the skin. But the thing about cedar wood is it does have a very high percentage of sesquiterpenes, and I know that means nothing to you, but there's three main chemical compounds that are widely studied with essential oil. Now, essential oils have hundreds of different compounds, but there's three classifications of compounds: sesquiterpenes, monoterpenes, and phenylpropanoids. And the cedar wood is very high in sesquiterpenes. So it has the ability to go in and erase damaged data, okay, from your DNA. So in other words, it goes in there, and then oils high in monoterpenes like frankincense has the ability to go in there and help rewrite the data correctly. So it works at the cellular level. It goes in and, you know, it helps these cells at the cellular level. That's why the essential oils are so great for helping your body, because it goes down right to the root of the cells there and helps get those corrected right there. It does have a calming effect. It's really great to use and diffuse this oil if you've got some really hyper grandkids. It has a great calming and focusing effect. It's very stimulating to the mind. And it was used as an embalming oil, too. Go ahead. The modern uses, as I said, just diffuse this stuff. This stuff is really, really great. It's a very inexpensive oil compared to the other oils that are very high in sesquiterpenes. So that's another reason this is a great one to have in your arsenal, because you can get the benefits of those very expensive oils. But this one's not that bad. It's great for stimulating the lymphatic system also. Mm-hmm. And we'll go on to the next. Our next oil is cypress. These are some scriptures that about the cypress. Also they believe that the ark was made of cypress. It's called gopher wood in the Bible, but cypress is the wood that they believe they called gopher wood back then. It's a very, very strong wood. The cypress trees, indeed the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. These are just some scriptures you can, look up in your spare time if you want and see where those are. Go ahead and advance. Many ancient uses of cypress. Obviously, it was used in buildings. It's a very, very strong wood that will last, you know, sometimes thousands of years. This is a picture of St. Peter's Cathedral, which is 1,200 years old, and the door there is made of cypress, and it has no signs of aging. So it was really used for the ships and for very strong, you know, buildings that they didn't want to deteriorate. The island of Cyprus was named after it. The trees and they usually plant cypress trees in the Mediterranean cemeteries that symbolizes life after death. Modern uses, it's a great circulatory system oil. It discourages fluid retention and promotes good liver health. You can use it on wounds, cuts, and scars. It's great for oral health because it strengthens teeth and gums. It supports healthy bones and connective tissues. And you can diffuse this also, and it'll help you with feelings of loss and sense of security. It's very grounding and stabilizing. Go ahead. Our next oil we're going to talk about is sandalwood. Now, sandalwood is referred to as aloes in scripture. It's not the aloe plant that you probably are familiar with. In Psalms, it talks, all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloe and cassia out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. These are just some other verses. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Found in Proverbs. Okay, you can advance. Ancient uses of aloes or sandalwood. It was used for strengthening the cardio system. It's great for the lymphatic system, calming of the nerves. It's great for skin. It's another wonderful skin oil. And this sandalwood is also very high in sesquiterpenes, just like the cedar wood. But the difference is the cedar wood is about $11 a bottle, and this is about $100 a bottle. So you can see the vast difference in price. That's why we always go, if there's a lesser expensive oil that has the same type of properties, we always start with that. Okay, it's great for meditation and prayer, too, because, because of those high sesquiterpenes, it goes right into the brain. It bypasses all the other systems, and it goes right there to help you with emotional states. It's incredible for skin care, so it's should be in your moisturizers and things like that. It really helps with aging skin. It helps with your sleep, helping you to get in a deep sleep. It's very supportive of the female reproductive systems and urinary tract systems. It's a popular cologne for men because it smells a little more woodsy. It's not a flowery type of smell. And it does promote normal cell regeneration. Okay, as we said, it helps get your body to produce normal cells as opposed to abnormal cells at the cellular level. Okay, and it's a great oil for the endocrine system. Go ahead. Cassia. Cassia is an oil that in Exodus 30, 23 to 25, it says, this is also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. This was God's recipe for the anointing oil back in Exodus. This was actually given from God in order on how to do this anointing oil, and then it goes on to how sacred it is, and, you know, don't use it for the wrong purposes. So both are uses for cassia. Cassia smells just like cinnamon because it is a relative of the cinnamon family. And you can interchange cassia with cinnamon for its uses since they are so similar. Cinnamon and cassia is known for their great support of a normal blood sugar level. You can diffuse it to help cleanse the air. Cinnamon and cassia have... nothing can live in the presence, so we use cinnamon more often than cassia because cinnamon's a little easier to obtain to help keep the air pure and sterilized. So if you've got people in the house or in the area sick, you want to help prevent that from spreading to other people. It is an incredible immune system builder. It's probably cassia and the cinnamon are very, very strong to build your immune system. Some people wear it as a perfume for both men and women. And it has a tremendous emotional response to the body. It's great for many systems of the body, for sinuses, urinary, and circulatory systems. But this is probably one of the hottest oils there are. So this one needs to be diluted pretty heavily with a carrier oil if you're going to apply this on your skin. If you have a hot oil, you can always apply a hot oil to the bottom of your feet without dilution. For some reason, the bottom of your feet don't have any sensation to the hotness. And you have a great absorbability from the bottom of your feet. So especially you have an oil that you don't like the smell of, but you want to get benefits from it, you can always apply the oil on the bottoms of your feet. And, you know, it's far away from your nose. You won't be smelling it, or put some socks on and then go about your day. Our next oil in Scripture is hyssop. Okay, and there are several verses here. I'm just going to read the first one. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. It's found in Exodus. And then in Psalms, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So when we read through these scriptures, has anybody ever thought to go, what's hyssop? That's like me. Go ahead. This particular passage is pretty incredible. That how many of you are familiar with reflexology and the different points you have at your hands and feet? That did you know that back in Bible times they obviously knew that too? I mean, I think God really gave them a lot of information that's been lost through the generations. But in Leviticus 14:28, I'm going to read this. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in the hand on the tip of the right ear, who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and in the place of the blood of the trespass offering. Now, that was, you know, many, many, many years ago, early in the Old Testament. But there is an auricular emotions chart. That's kind of like a reflexology chart, but it's for the ear. According to the auricular emotions chart, the top of the right ear is the nerve ending, or we call the vitaflex point, for guilt. And the right thumb and the right big toe are the nerve ending points for the pineal gland in the center of the brain. That's what the seat of your emotions. By applying this ancient wisdom today, we can experience emotional cleansing with the application of hyssop. So, you know, they were doing an emotional thing with this in the Bible back in Leviticus, which is amazing to me that they had this knowledge to do that. Okay. Go ahead. Ancient and modern uses. It's a great wellness oil because it's highly immune boosting. It's a great oil to use to help stay well through winter. It's great for the respiratory system. It helps to break up thick nasal fluid and drainage. It helps strengthening and toning the nervous system. It can also help release stuffed and buried emotions. How many know that unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and so many other negative emotions that you harbor are the cause of many of your physical illnesses? And by even stuff that you may not even remember that you've suppressed, maybe you were hurt as a child, especially by maybe a parent figure or something like that, and you've just suppressed that for years to where you've forgotten about it. Well, your body does not forget those things. Your cells remember those things. And if you don't go back and deal with those things, then they can cause different ailments in different organs of your body. So by going back and forgiving and in resolving these things, then God opens the door for you to receive healing that way. But with the oils are a great accompaniment to that. They don't necessarily do it by itself, but because they are able to go and help release negative emotions. So by using the oils in prayer time and asking the Lord to, you know, bring things to your mind that you need to deal with, such as forgiving people and things like that, the oils help open that up in the part of your brain where you have suppressed these things or have chose to forgotten them. So the oils are very useful in that. And also with the hyssop is one that if you do have a history of epilepsy or if you're pregnant, that is one that you need to avoid. It doesn't cause seizures, but it can trigger in people that do have that. I just want to mention that in case anybody needs to know that. Myrtle is our next oil. In Isaiah, it says, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine together. And then instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Go ahead. So Esther was a Hebrew girl, and her original name was Hadassah, which actually meant myrtle. She received her name of Esther when she entered the royal harem. Modern and ancient uses. Myrtle is a very good oil for the endocrine system. So whether you're wanting something to support, you know, thyroid, adrenals, or the female reproductive system, this is a great oil. It's found in some blends that can be ingested. Myrtle can be applied. It can also be young children should not be really young, under 3, need to be careful about giving them oils that have high menthol content, like eucalyptus and peppermint, applying it where they can't get away from the menthol because sometimes it's too strong for them. It needs to be diluted way down. Myrtle is a great choice for children because it doesn't have that menthol component, but it is a relative to the eucalyptus. So it does a lot of great lung support functions. So you can actually rub it on the chest or just diffuse it and breathe it in that way. It's also great for the skin. Most of these oils I've talked about today are great for all types of skin issues to help the skin be more radiant, vibrant. It's great for muscle spasms. You can even use it in the nasal irrigation systems, things like that. Rose of Sharon in Scripture, there's only one verse that I found, and it's, I am the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Obviously, we're not talking about the flower here. We're talking about who the Rose of Sharon is. But the flower is called Rose of Sharon, and it's also called cistus, and it's also called rock rose. So you may hear that particular flower being called a multitude of things. Okay. This particular oil, again, it's great for the regeneration of healthy cells. So it's another one that's great for skin. It's highly immune boosting. It helps support the urinary tract system, joint and tendon support. It elevates the emotions. It's very calming. You can use it on wounds for overall tenderness and aches. You can use it for our aging skin. Sinus support. Again, it's great for where you've got excessive bleeding issues. You can throw that on your skin, and that'll help with that. Okay. It's not a very popular one to use by itself. Most of these oils that I'll talk about today in what we call our scripture oils, there's a lot more in scripture than the ones that I'm talking about today, but these are some of the more popular ones. But there's also a lot of, this is not really where I would tell people to start as beginners, but these are oils are, there's a lot of similar ones that are easier to source, get, and less expensive. Okay, the next one. Onyka, this one here is, it's been prized in biblical times. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte, onyka, and galbanum, and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. Again, he's talking about the, you know, his recipes. Ancient and modern uses of onyka. It has a very sweet aroma. It comes from the resin of the benzoin tree. The benzoin tree, years ago, before we have all of our modern-day medicine and disinfectants, hospitals smelled very strong of benzoin tincture. And maybe if you've gone to other countries, you may have actually experienced that in their hospitals, or who knows, maybe you've experienced it here years ago. So it has a very distinct smell. People would call it the hospital, you know, a smell of a hospital because of that benzoin. But this is the actual essential oil. It's not the tincture that they use. It's very thick and sticky, so it's another one that's very difficult to get out of the bottle, which if you hold it in your hand and warm it up just for a minute, and then you can pour it out. It's great for cleansing of wounds. Obviously, that's what the hospitals use it for. It's comforting, soothing, and calming when massaged into the skin. It's also a great respiratory support oil. It's great for digestive issues, and it's traditionally used for cleansing and purifying. So these are the 10 oils, which I'll have over in the other room. How much time do we have here? So we're doing really good on time. I guess I did it a little faster than I needed to. Does anybody have any questions that you would like to ask? Mm-hmm. You can diffuse it. There's a couple of different ways you can diffuse it. You can put a drop in, take a bowl of water and kind of heat it up to almost boiling, and then put a drop of hyssop in there, and then put a tent over your head and breathe it in that way. That will help get it high up into the nasal passages between the steam and the oil. You can just apply it onto the chest. There's different ways that you can do that. It's not one for ingestion, though. Yeah. Yeah. Yes? Olive oil is a great carrier. I do recommend, though, for your carriers that you only use the highest quality oils that you can have, because you're putting this on your skin. So you want organic, cold-pressed, unadulterated, all the different things. So coconut oil, olive oil, grapeseed oil. Now, depending on where you're going to apply it, some oils are not so good for your face because you don't want it to clog your pores. So like coconut oil, I wouldn't recommend putting it on your face on a daily basis. Doing it, you know, once or twice is not going to matter. But I wouldn't make that your face oil. I would use something much lighter like a grapeseed or jojoba oil or avocado oil for that. But then coconut oil is my favorite from the neck down. So just make sure that it is pure, because you don't want to be adding. I mean, literally, you could use Crisco, but who wants to smear Crisco on your body? It'll work as far as, you know, a carrier oil, but the whole point of going to essential oils is to get rid of the toxins, you know, in your products. I don't think people have any idea that we put over 300 chemicals a day on our body. And that seems like a large number, but when you go look at the ingredients on the back of your shampoo and your conditioner and your makeup and your lotions, and then you go, okay, the dryer sheets that have coated your clothes with chemicals, and the dishwashing soap that you washed your put your hands in to wash your dishes, and the plug-in that you have burning, you know, in your outlet that's putting all these chemicals in the air, your body comes in contact with about 300 chemicals a day. Unfortunately, only 15% of these chemicals in our home have any safety data on them at all. There is a loophole in the law, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of chemicals that we are allowed to use in our home. We don't ingest them. They're in products, but we're absorbing them through our skin. Just like I said, when you put the essential oil on your skin, it absorbs into your skin. It's in your bloodstream in 2 minutes. So is all those chemicals. And if you get anything out of this talk today, you know, our bodies are the temple of the Lord, okay, and we should treat it as such. And God gave this body as a gift for us to have while we're here on earth. And unfortunately, there's so much greed out there for money that these chemicals and these things are in our environment, and we can't get away from it. And what you don't know is hurting you. So I encourage you to take a close look at the products you have in your home, whether you use essential oils or not. They are so toxic that that's causing allergies, it's causing asthma, it's causing breathing problems and all these things. And it's actually because we're doing it to ourselves. You know, all those air fresheners and things like that are very, very toxic. Febreze will kill birds. So if it kills birds, you know, because they have very, very delicate respiratory systems, it, you know, it's definitely not going to be helping you. There's an app if you've got a smartphone. It's called Think Dirty, and it is not what you think. But you can download it, and you can scan all the barcodes of the products in your home. And it's free to do that, and it'll give you a toxicity rating. And even things like Johnson's Baby Shampoo has very bad toxins in it. So you'll be surprised when you start, you know, finding that most of the things in your home are, you know, a 7, 8, or 9 of a level of toxicity known to cause cancer, known to cause endocrine disruptions. That's one thing. Essential oils go in the body, and they clean off receptor sites on cells. Toxins go in the body, and they cloud over those receptor sites so that the cells can't communicate properly with each other. And when they can't communicate properly with each other, stuff happens. Cells grow and reproduce abnormally. You start getting tumors. You start getting cancers. You start getting things. We start getting a lot of messed up endocrine systems, a lot of thyroid disease. We got a lot of infertility, like, you know, in young people. All these things are because, you know, some, not every, you know, it could be caused by these toxins, this buildup. Our body's very forgivable. God made us so that we detoxify our bodies every day. Our body has a natural detoxification process, but it can only handle so much. So by these receptor sites getting clouded over and these cells that can't talk properly with each other, that just leads you to set you up for different disease processes. So by removing those toxins, if that's all you do is remove a lot of those toxins in your home, and don't think that you can just see something and it says natural and think it's okay. You really have to look at the ingredients. You pull your cleaners out and you can't, there's no list of ingredients. They're not required to tell you what's in there, only that the active ingredient on the front. Go pull out your Clorox bathroom cleaner. There's no ingredients list. You're putting dozens or more chemicals in the air every time you clean, and you're inhaling that, and you don't even know what you're inhaling. So if anything, if you get anything out of this, I do hope that you come on over and talk to us. We have the oils over in the fellowship hall afterwards, and you can smell the oils we talked about today. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to talk to you. And if you have any more questions here, are we good? Anybody else have any questions? Just a drop on the skin. Actually, there's a lot of other more available oils that myrtle's very hard to source. So there's a lot of lesser expensive oils that we can put you on that would probably do the same thing. Yeah. All right.
Well, we can answer. You can answer some more questions over. When...
Yes, Becky. Thank you so much, Diane, and thank you, Patricia, for coming. I'm so grateful that they came. And as a little thank you, I planted some lavender for y'all to take. These are kind of heavy, so we'll get the kids, but that's for each of y'all as a thank you gift for coming. They're very generous people, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Becky. All right. Well, thank you all for being here, and they'll be able to answer some more of your questions over in the fellowship hall. So that was just super. I wish you could just put all of that in one bottle and just let me have it. I'd probably just zip right on up to glory, wouldn't I? What? Oh, I thought you meant I could be one of those ninja warriors after I drank it and win the ninja warrior contest. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's have our prayer and we'll bless the food as we go too. So, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to learn something new about things in the Bible. These oils, it's just amazing. And God, you're behind all of that. You made all of these things. And so we're just amazed. So we thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for this program today. Lord, as we go forth now, bless this food, Lord, to our bodies and us to thy service. We love you, Lord, and we lift this prayer up in Jesus' name. Amen.